Shabbat Shalom. This week's parasha is Vayetzi, and it covers Genesis 28:10 through 32:3. Jacob has had to flee his home after deceiving his father into giving him the blessing intended for his brother Esau, and at his mother's instructions journeys to his uncle Laban's. In chapter 28, Jacob has traveled a full day's distance and is arriving at a certain place where he rests for the night. He has had to use a stone for a pillow. That night he has a dream and he sees angels ascending and descending a staircase or a ladder stretching to heaven and earth. It is a representation of Messiah, who is our mediator reconciling man to God. Yeshua himself affirmed this in John chapter 1. In the dream, the Lord tells Jacob that the land will be given to him and his descendants, who will be too numerous to count and spread out in every direction. Jacob's offspring will be blessed and the Lord will be with them. We should note that God's choice of Jacob isn't based on his deeds, but simply because Adonai is gracious. Even after receiving this blessing, Jacob tries to negotiate with God. That if Adonai does everything he promised, then Jacob will be loyal to him. He still has a long way to go from being Jacob the deceiver, becoming Israel who follows God. Adonai often allows us to suffer the consequences of our own foolishness so that we might learn from it. Our hardship builds our character. It certainly helped build Jacob's. In chapter 29, Jacob reaches Haran and rests by the well. He encounters shepherds there and he asks if they know Laban. And they respond, yes, and tell Jacob that Laban's daughter Rachel is now approaching. Jacob, no doubt wanting to impress this beautiful maiden, goes to the well and removes a large heavy stone by himself and then proceeds to water her father's sheep. He is then brought to their home to meet her father Laban, and he's invited to remain with them. After Jacob has been living and working there a month, Laban asks him what kind of wages he wants. Jacob says he's in love with Rachel and he asks for her hand in marriage. Laban agrees to give Rachel as his wife in exchange for 7 years of work from him. The years pass quickly and pleasantly, and finally the big wedding day comes, and after much celebration, including plenty of wine, Jacob takes his wife into his tent to consummate his marriage. It was the custom at that time for brides to wear a full veil. In the morning, when Jacob sees his wife, he realizes it's not Rachel, but Leah, her older sister, who's a little less attractive. Jacob, the deceiver, finds himself up against an even bigger deceiver, his father-in-law. I wonder how much time Jacob spent contemplating how he had deceived his father by pretending to be his brother, only now to be deceived into marrying the sister. Oh, the tangled web we weave. The shrewd Laban also agrees to give Jacob Rachel, whom he loves, in marriage in 7 days if he consents to work another 7 years for Jacob. Seven years. Jacob agrees to this new contract. Laban ultimately changes Jacob's wages 10 times before the two part ways. I am reminded of Galatians 6, 7, and 8, where it says, "Whoever sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. But that anyone who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life." Choose wisely, brothers and sisters. At this point, Jacob and Laban are sowing their own sinful nature. But praise God that Jacob will soon see the light and eventually become a new man and acquire a new name. After some years, Jacob tells Laban that he wants to return to his own country. Laban realized that he has been blessed because of God's favor on Jacob. He persuades Jacob to remain. Jacob agrees to stay, and they work out an agreement whereby all the choice animals, those that are solid in color, will be Laban's, and all the speckled, spotted, striped animals will be Jacob's. Now, meanwhile, Jacob has earned a lot from his father-in-law, now employs some kind of creative animal husbandry, resulting in the birth of far more speckled, spotted, and striped animals. So Jacob's flock increases while Laban's flock dwindles. if you mate a black one with a white one, you're going to get some spots on there. So this didn't work too good for Laban. In chapter 31, God comes to Jacob and tells him to return to the land of his fathers. And this seems to be just in the nick of time, because Laban and his sons have grown resentful toward him since he is now way wealthier than they. So now Jacob, who once fled from his brother, whom he deceived, now flees from his father-in-law, whom he has also deceived. There is a direct correlation between Jacob's deception of his father, his brother, and his father-in-law to what will happen to him in the years to come when his own sons deceive him with his favorite son, Joseph. Remember, we reap what we sow. So what can we learn from this Torah portion? Jacob repeatedly took matters into his own hands, deceiving others and being deceived himself. How much are we like Jacob? We try to make deals with God, saying that if he will just do this thing or something else for us, we will do something for him. We connive to get the things we want, and we deceive ourselves into believing that the ends justify the means. We are no better than Jacob. But we do have the Holy Spirit, who constantly nudges us back on the path of righteousness. We need to listen when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and convicts us of our sin. Hebrews 12:6 says that Adonai disciplines those he loves, and he punishes those whom he accepts as sons. Brothers and sisters, what I want you to remember most today is that we reap what we sow. Sow honestly in goodness and bless others, and the Lord will bless you. So trickery and deception, and the Lord may have to make an example of you. Pray that the conduct of others, seeing us, leads them in the path of righteousness, the path of our Messiah Yeshua. And let's be grateful and praise God that he has so much mercy, grace, and forgiveness for us. He has chosen followers when we return to him time and time again. Brothers and sisters, amen.